which I have not a clue about. It led Peter to delivering his first great sermon, although I'm pretty sure that was in his native tongue. And that day, we're told, over 3,000 people were added to the church. Now, in 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 4, Paul writes that a person who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. If you know what an edifice is, a building, you've got the root meaning of the word, it's to build oneself up. So someone speaking in tongues will build himself or herself up. But by inference there, it doesn't build up the church. And that suggests to me that it's probably a language that no one speaks, a language of angels, if you like. And we hear Paul talk about that in 1 Corinthians 13. If I speak in a tongue of men or of angels. And later in 1 Corinthians 14, verses 27, 28, Paul says, if anyone speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So I conclude that there is a speaking in tongues, which someone may do, which builds themselves up in the faith and is a form of prayer to God, and another speaking of in tongues that may happen during public worship, which anticipates that an interpretation will be given so that other worshippers can understand what's just been said. And notice Paul doesn't insist this is a translation, but an interpretation. It's not a word for word translation, but likely to be something that enables people to understand the gist of what's been said. Now, these two are related. They both involve the Holy Spirit moving someone to speak. It may be an earthly language or a heavenly one. And if it's for church-wide consumption, it should be interpreted or otherwise not given. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul writes that to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. Well, if we accept that God's Holy Spirit can still do in us today what he could do then, there will be some people who have the gift of speaking in tongues and others with the gift of interpretation of tongues. Are we okay so far? Following me so far? Here's the thing, though. If I asked those of you who wanted to receive the gift of teaching or preaching to come down to the front to me for to pray for you, that God would give you that gift, I think we'd be pretty cool with that. If I asked those of you who wanted to receive the gift of faith or administration, there might be plenty of people wanting the gift of administration, or helping others to come down to the front for me to pray for you, that God will give you one of those gifts, I think we'd be pretty cool with that. But there's something about speaking in tongues that causes us to feel uncomfortable. So I want to examine a little bit this morning about why that might be. And I think there are three main reasons. First, this is a gift that strikes us as supernatural and makes us feel uneasy. And I would question, do we feel uneasy if we pray for someone who's sick and they get better? I don't think we particularly do, but actually praying for someone who's sick and having God help restore them to health is supernatural. We're engaging with the supernatural when we do that. But perhaps it just doesn't show quite as much as supernatural. Secondly, if we receive the gift of speaking in tongues it marks us out as something a little bit different. It is certainly not of this world. I grew up liking the Snoopy cartoons, and Snoopy the dog goes through a phase where he offers psychiatric help for 5 cents, and he has a little sign by the end of his hutch, and he just lies on the top of the hutch waiting for people to come for psychiatric help for 5 cents. And so the characters, like Charlie Brown, put up a little sign that says, "Beware the peculiar dog." And you know, there's that sense, I think, that something like, you know, speaking in tongues, we have that sense of beware the peculiar person because they've got this peculiar gift. So I think it's a gift that causes anxiety. It makes us feel that if we had that gift, we would seem odd, quirky, or worse. And I think it's accompanied by a fear that we might in some way be taken over by the Holy Spirit and we won't be in control. Perhaps we'd start to speak in tongues uncontrollably in the checkout queue in Waitrose, which would no doubt cause havoc. Third reason, that we might ask God for his gift and not receive it. And that somehow there would be two tiers of Christians, those who speak in tongues who've been otherwise blessed, and those who don't. So we might fear this gift marks some people out as different, and I hesitate to say more spiritual, but I think that's often at the root of our anxiety. And also a fear of not having it as well, in case somehow that makes us less blessed. So let's have a look at these concerns. Firstly, God is supernatural. Sorry to spring that one on you, but God operates supernaturally. The Holy Spirit operates supernaturally when we pray for things and for one another, when we trust God to help us in an exam, when we read a daily Bible portion and find that it seems to have been written as if I was the only person who was going to read it. It seems so fitting to my situation on that day. Those are supernatural things. We shouldn't fear God working supernaturally. Second, Jesus tells us that we should ask God for good things, and he will respond by giving us good things. That's at the heart of our gospel reading this morning from Matthew 7. If you ask for bread, you won't get a stone. We may need to be persistent in our asking, but God will never reward our persistence with something bad. Speaking in tongues isn't something we should fear. But also Paul writes that during worship, if there's not an interpreter, that the person should keep quiet. And that tells me that speaking in tongues is subject to the person's control. If you ask for this gift of speaking in tongues and were to receive it, you won't find yourselves uncontrollably speaking in tongues in Waitrose. You might feel perhaps a need to, but you wouldn't have to. You can choose not to speak in a tongue if you don't feel it's the right time and the right place to do so. Third, I think the issue is tied up with the noticeably different nature of speaking in tongues. You know, I think that we don't rank or try to rank whether a particular gift is better than another gift, whether a preacher is a better Christian than someone who doesn't preach, or perhaps someone who has the gift of administration, or someone who has the gift of prophecy. I don't think we do a sort of mental tick list. Ooh, you know, they've got a prophetic gift. That's two down from the gift of healing, or three up from the gift of administration. We just accept that they're gifts. But somehow, this gift of tongues is one that makes us feel awkward. I think maybe we can't easily discern some of these gifts. So, for example, someone might be a good preacher because they're naturally good at standing up in front of people and preaching. So perhaps we feel that they've got a natural gift to be a preacher. We may not spot that someone else is good at preaching because they're not natural at it, but they've practiced, they've worked at it, they've refined it. They've asked God to bless them with it, and it's come through practice. Somehow, some of these gifts are what I would call analog. And for those of you who don't remember what analog and digital are, analog is like a volume control where you turn the potentiometer, for those of you who know what a potentiometer is, and effectively you get an increase in volume, as opposed to a digital thing which is on or off or goes in steps. And I guess to some extent we might look at the gift of preaching and say it's an analog kind of gift. You might have been given it, you're still not very good, you need to practice more. Whereas tongues is perhaps a digital gift because you've got it or you haven't. And maybe that's what makes us feel uncomfortable. Notice also that Paul says, do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? So he clearly implies that the answer is no to those questions. Not all people will speak in tongues or have the gift of healing. So it's not about tiers of Christians ranked at different levels of godliness. It's about which gifts chooses to give to someone. Paul encourages us to desire the greater gifts, which raises a question, well, what exactly does he mean by the greater gifts? Don't ask me to rank them. We should be seeking more gifts of whatever kind they are and be persistent. There's something else to say on this topic before we finish the chapter, as it were. As we read through Acts, we find situations where believers come into a new experience of the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit upon them. That's often referred to as baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's sometimes, but by no means always, accompanied by people speaking in tongues. So in Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, this baptism, and the Greek word for that literally means drenching. It's the same word you would use if a trireme was rammed in a war and submerged. It's inundated by water. That's the same word that you would use for baptism in the Holy Spirit, a drenching. So maybe that's a better experience. That happens in Acts 2:10-19. It's accompanied by speaking tongues. In Acts 4 and 8, the same thing happens, but tongues are not mentioned. In Acts 19, the Ephesian believers began to prophesy, but prophecy isn't mentioned on the other occasions. In Acts 2, there's the sound of wind and tongues of flame, but this doesn't seem to happen on the other occasions. And I suppose the point I'm trying to make is there's no one-size-fits-all experience of the Holy Spirit. So if we're trying to seek something that we think is the one defining experience of the power of the Holy Spirit, there isn't one, and you're going to be disappointed. Well, at the beginning of our series in the Holy Spirit, I spoke of how God gives the Holy Spirit to everyone who believes in Jesus, who puts their faith in him. Now, I would describe this baptism in the Holy Spirit as a boost of God's power within us. So as a Christian, we've got God's Holy Spirit within us, and we might at times receive a boost to that. And we might get that in all sorts of ways. We might go to a meeting where we feel inspired and a deep sense of God's presence. It can happen in a service here on a Sunday morning. And we see through Acts different people often received a baptism or drenching in the Spirit to equip them with power for a new task or a new ministry. So we might use this term for the first time someone receives a particular sense of God's power coming into them, an infilling of God's power for something. But it isn't a one-off event. In fact, we're encouraged by Paul to be filled with the Spirit. Now, Greek has different tenses from ours, but we have a tense that's very similar to what Paul was talking about when he says, be filled. It's that sense of go on being filled. So, you know, I can say this afternoon I'm going to walk, but I can talk about now I am walking across the platform. It's a present continuous thing. And what Paul is encouraging people is that they keep being filled, that you live in a state of being filled and of being receptive to receive more of God's power to equip you to do the tasks that God gives you to do. So, where does that take us? Well, as we draw to a close, there are three responses that we might make. We may pray, feel that we wish to pray for God to give us new gifts that we've heard about over this series, like words of knowledge and prophecy, gifts of healing, or the gift of tongues and or interpretation of tongues, or the gift of preaching or teaching or administration, or one of the many others that we've heard about. There are lots of them. It may be that we wish to pray for a boost of the Spirit's power within us. And we could call that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, if you wish, or an infilling with the Holy Spirit. And we may not know what if we receive more of God's Spirit, that might start to show in us as a new gift that we start to exercise. The gift of hospitality. That's so vital for our welcome team, for the people who run our cafe. It's that spirit of welcome that enables people to think, gosh, those people have got something. I wonder what it is. And perhaps come and seek us on a Sunday morning to find out more about what makes us tick. So if you feel that you need to understand more, that could be another response. I think I want more of the Holy Spirit's power, but I'm a bit nervous. I'm not quite sure what that would look like. I'm not sure how that might unleash something in me that I'm not quite comfortable with yet. Then if that's you, I'd suggest that you read through the passages we've heard today and listen for what God is prompting you to do in response. So there are various things that you can do. You might want to pray at home later, but I am going to pray for us all now. And what I'm going to suggest is that you stand up, all of you, because that makes it easier. If you stand up, if you want to receive something more from God today, just hold your hands out in front of you as if you're going to receive a shoebox, as if I was going to walk up and give you a shoebox. I'm not going to, by the way, so you're all right. But if you want to stand up now, I'm just going to pray that God would give you what it is in your heart you feel that you would want to receive from God. Thank you, Father God, that you've promised to give us good things. We sang just now, you're a good, good Father, and you love us. It's who you are, it's who we are, that you're loved by us. So we pray, Father God, you'd pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Thank you for the amazing gifts that you have for us. And Lord, we ask that you might bless us with more gifts in our fellowship and greater openness to see you at work through the power of your Holy Spirit. There will be people available to pray with you after the service. in the prayer corner. There'll be other people around who can pray with you then. There'll be a time to be prayed for during communion with some of the prayer team at the back of church. Let's just be still for a moment. Father, we want you to move in power in our church. Equip us for all you would have us do to minister to our community. In the name of Jesus. Amen.